Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
Pizzagate is a pretty interesting topic, and I'm going to talk about it in this podcast episode for those that haven't necessarily come across it or don't really know what it means. So for the last couple of weeks, the internet's kind of been ablaze, really, with talk of this Pizzagate business, and it seems quite obscure unless you know what it is in reference to. And at first I didn't really give it a great deal of attention, to be honest, largely because I wrongly thought it was all to do with the Clinton campaign, and I thought it was just something to do with something that was perhaps said as part of the Clinton campaign for the election back in November of 2016, that for some reason had some relation to pizza, some scandal, and I just thought it was all political, and I wasn't really interested. But I did start to realise that actually it was way more than that. It was something quite deep. So I decided to look into the story. So for those that aren't aware, I'm just going to break down the gist of Pizzagate and just give some thoughts, really. I don't necessarily think that it's based on reality, and I'm not convinced it's fake news. I'm still undecided, really, about this particular subject, this particular topic, because, I mean, many people are already coming out saying that the whole thing is a fake story, and even the Wikipedia page, the official article on Pizzagate, has said it's a debunked conspiracy theory and it's another example of fake news. But I think perhaps what sparked my interest more than anything about Pizzagate really was actually the way that the media reacted to it, because they reacted vehemently. They pulled rank and created this new term that we're hearing a lot of now called fake news, and they declared this a fake news story. And even Facebook, for example, has now come out saying that they've updated their website's algorithm so it will detect fake news stories and somehow block them. Personally, I'm baffled to understand how that could possibly work on a technical level, because there's no AI that could necessarily differentiate between a true story and a fake one. I'm guessing really what they have is a whitelist of sources, and certain sites they probably have scrubs off their whitelist, something along those lines anyway. But anyway, so Pizzagate is all down to leaked emails. And many people know, I mean, obviously many people don't know if you don't really follow US politics, but a few months ago, thousands of emails were leaked online onto the website WikiLeaks. And these were all emails that were linked to a guy called John Podesta, who was part of Hillary Clinton's campaign and a sort of big figure in US politics, certainly on the Democrat side of things, kind of like a campaign organizer, a statesman of sorts, that kind of mover and shaker, kind of like a civil servant in the UK. So these emails were leaked, and that was a big story in and of itself, and obviously now they're now coming out saying that was all down to the Russians, but I haven't seen any solid evidence to back that up, but there seems to be a lot of speculation about it being down to the Russians, and that's actually being used as arsenal, as weaponry to try and somehow claim that Trump's legitimacy as the president-elect should be challenged. But regardless of who leaked these emails, whether it be Russians or some white hat hacker or the Chinese or the Americans, who knows? The fact is that they were leaks. And that's an undisputed point. These were leaked emails. And nobody's come out and said these emails are fake. They seem to be the real deal. John Podesta hasn't said, oh, this is all fake. It seems to be a real leak. So we know that much. So these emails were leaked. And after a few weeks of these emails being out online, somebody on a website called 4chan, although I have heard speculation it was actually a website called godlikeproductions.com, which is another conspiracy forum. I'm not sure where this story first surfaced, and that's an interesting point, because many people jumped to the theory that it was 4chan, a 4chan post. But actually, in my experience of these things, and I've been monitoring those particular websites for close to a decade now, or actually no, over a decade in fact, usually Godlike Productions is the website where really weird theories come to light. Somebody posts an interesting theory, the thread gets huge and huge and huge, generates a spark of interest, and all of a sudden other sources pick that up. But to be honest, most of the time I think it probably operates alongside a similar 4chan post. Somebody might post on one website and then repost on another website during the sort of roughly the same time period. So it doesn't necessarily matter that much what website the thread was first posted on, but it's more a case of this being journalistic integrity and journalistic facts and analysis. Sometimes people just copy what one source says and don't do their homework. I tried to dig into the original post and couldn't find it, because most of this, one of the things about Pizzagate that actually sparked my interest is the way that most of this content is being slowly taken offline, which is usually a sign of there being something up with the official story. So anyway, a theory came out that these emails were actually revealing some sort of weird coded language, as some sort of secret code was being used. And when you read the emails, what you're actually reading is a discussion about child sex trafficking and paedophilia. So the reason it's called Pizzagate is because there's constant references to pizza in the emails, and cheese as well, and hot dogs and food, just all sorts of food, but pizza seems to be the big one. So Pizzagate became a sort of topic, a hashtag essentially, and it caught on. But in a nutshell, and I could spend hours talking about this, and I don't want to do that, I want to try and break this down. It turns out that there is this sort of odd code going on in these emails, allegedly, and a few people have tried to devise a what they see as a key for these emails to try and identify what we could be reading when we read pizza. It could mean boy, cheese means girl, I think, all these different theories. But these are just theories. There's no evidence whatsoever to back this up. It's just people are trying to identify what the seemingly odd language going on in these emails, trying to make sense of them. So the first thing that I did was we looked at the emails, because the mainstream media simply says, well, no, there's no story there. It's just people talking about pizzas and that's it. But I must say, when you look at the emails, there does seem to be something very peculiar about them. Not all of them, but some of them do stand out. So I'm just going to read a couple of examples. I mean, I trolled through the WikiLeaks Podesta email file and just had a look through, scanned through a lot of it, just tried to dig things out. You can do keyword searches to try and dig certain phrases out and things. But you get constant references to things like this. So there's an email here. So this is somebody responding to Tony, I think somebody emailing Tony Podesta, John Podesta. So they're saying, great show, great speech, raised over 40 grand. My only regret is that I did not make you a nice pizza. When can I? And yeah, sure, it's probably just what it reads. It probably is just that, a pizza. But then you see other emails where it's things like, I didn't get to spend enough time with the pizza tonight. Or you get, there was one I saw, which I can't find, actually, I did find it, I saw it a few weeks ago, where there was a reference to spending an hour with some pizza, which was a very odd way to word it. I mean, grammatically, it's just incorrect just to say you're spending an hour with an object or with food. I suppose it's not grammatically incorrect as such, but it's just odd. I mean, are you just sitting in a room with some pizza for an hour? No, generally you would eat pizza, and that may well take you an hour. It may take 10 minutes. But it's the wording was odd. But sometimes I think there is a danger of reading too deeply into just basically badly written emails. Emails that have been written in a rush or by people maybe that just aren't particularly great at writing. Or perhaps they are, but they just rush these emails out. So, or they just are just slightly eccentric, quite honestly. And you've got to take that into account. A lot of these politicians are just quite eccentric academic people, and they just do, yeah, they do sometimes word things in slightly bizarre ways, certainly in private email chains. But there are other examples. There's a reference to a torture chamber. Podesta says in response to some other email, he says, still in torture chamber. And there's been a lot of people talking about this, but I must admit, I mean, what puts me off this theory is that people are jumping at very small references in this email trail, saying that it represent, that's proof that there's some torture chamber operation going on. It's like, well, no, of course that isn't. It's probably just a joke. And he was apparently, it turns out Podesta was having surgery on his hand. So that was probably in reference to some horrible operation he was in the process of going through. And he just joked and likened it to being in a torture chamber. So I don't necessarily buy that particular email. Another big one, which a lot of people have been talking about, is in relation to a hot tub. So I'll just read this particular email out. So somebody, there's a party being arranged. A lot of these emails are to do with organising parties and get-togethers and things. So no plan to heat the pool, so a swim is a possibility. So this is the bit where people are kind of freaking out. So Ronnie will be Uber service to transport. So Uber being a taxi, the new taxi service where you use an app on your phone to get people. So basically they're talking about a driver. So Bonnie will be Uber service to transport Ruby, Cameron, I think it's Cameron. Got a bit of a weird picture I'm looking at here. It's not, the text isn't very clear actually. And some other name which I can't read at the moment, and then in brackets 11, 9 and almost 7, so you'll have some further entertainment, and they will be in that pool for sure. So people have jumped at that and said, well, this literally is describing having three kids as entertainment and making sure that they're in a hot tub as part of a party. On the face of it, that sounds pretty sinister and pretty odd. And at first I did think, well, this might even be a smoking gun. But actually, when you really think about it, there's not a lot there, really. I mean, and it turns out that I think the writer of this email is a mother of one of those children. So it kind of starts to seem perhaps a little more innocent than at first. Because what they're saying is the kids are going to hog the pool. But you know, what I must say is, I think it is kind of odd how the ages were specifically raised as part of this email. It's very kind of sort of formal. It's kind of like their names, brackets, ages, 11, 9, and almost 7. Why is that important? Why can't you just say three kids or the names of three kids? And it is common knowledge, I think, that paedophiles are very often very specifically drawn to a particular age group. So some will be very into 7-year-olds, others will prefer 12-year-olds, that kind of thing. So sometimes you do see this apparently in correspondence between these groups. You see reference to ages because ages are categories. So, I mean, David Icke used to talk about this stuff in relation to Ted Heath. I can't remember the age group, but Ted Heath particularly liking, you know, 7-year-old boys, that kind of thing. So the only thing that I think is a bit odd about that email is the fact that the ages are referenced and specifically mentioned in brackets as part of the sentence. That's the only thing that I think's slightly perplexing there. And it is odd. So anyway, there's also references to pasta, and I can't remember what pasta was allegedly a code for now. I think cheese is allegedly girl, but I'm not going to go on too much about the whole code business because no one knows if that's true or not. That's just somebody's theory, and it who knows. But anyway, there's an email here. P.S. Do you think I'll do better playing dominoes on cheese than on pasta? And this is an email, I think, Podesta. So he's written a long email. Then at the end, he's put that line in. I think dominoes allegedly is referenced to BDSM activity. And then, so you know, the theory is, do you think I'll do better having sex games on a girl than on pasta, on a boy? I don't know. I mean, quite honestly, I think that probably is just him saying, do you think he'd do better playing dominoes on cheese than on pasta? Really, it's just badly worded. But really what he's saying is, what are we going to eat whilst we play dominoes tonight? But then again, you know, maybe it doesn't mean that. I mean, people are saying that this is code and that means something else. That means girl or boy, essentially. Or, you know, category of child, what age group, that kind of thing. And yeah, you know, it's odd. The more you read it, the more you start to wonder. That's the problem with these theories. You do get drawn in and you start to, confirmation bias is the thing that triggers. You become accustomed to the idea that there is something odd here. And what happens is people, they will then tend to only look for sources that back up the idea that Pizzagate is a cover-up and there is something actually going on here. So I'm trying very hard to just read both arguments. So look at sources, mainstream sources, BBC, etc., to try and get a journalistic slant on this, perhaps. But the last few months have been crazy online with regards to mainstream media versus alternative media. The whole thing is kind of getting really out of hand now, and the camps are very, very firmly positioned now. You've got the mainstream, you've got people just rejecting everything the mainstream media say now. And then you've got the mainstream media now coming out with this idea that everything the alt media puts out is fake news and shouldn't even be listed on Facebook as a trending topic. So it's getting really intense out there. But this is why I think it's important to always maintain a sense of impartiality, because you can get suckered into one camp or the other. You really can. It's so easy. So anyway, this Pizzagate, I mean, and the other thing, I mean, this talk about it being linked to a particular Pizzagate restaurant which they always go to apparently, called Comet Ping Pong, I think, and the owner of that restaurant happens to be on a list of the 50 most influential people in Washington DC, which is rather bizarre considering all the guy does allegedly is own a pizza joint. And this particular guy on his Instagram profile, he's got lots of pictures of work going on in this particular pizza joint, of like underground rooms being built, and very odd comments on these Instagram pages from people. And again, I've looked at it and thought, you know, it's a bit odd, but there's no smoking gun there. There really isn't. And you can read those comments in one way, or you can read them in another way. They're just things like, there was one of a hole being dug, and there was a pic, and somebody said, oh, that there'd be lots of room for people down that hole, and then the response was, it's already full. But they're probably just joking. See, the problem is people don't want to think that this is all just politicians just being silly, quite honestly, just making silly comments on the internet, because at the end of the day, they're just human beings. They want it all to be absolutely real. They want it to be completely 100% a conspiracy to do with child trafficking. So really, what I'd say about Pizzagate, really, to wrap up, I mean, this was a very fleeting episode. I'm not going into great detail. I'm just kind of providing a high-level overview for those that probably, because I think most of our subscribers are in the UK, and it's not really been that covered in the UK. It has by the BBC and things, but only online. I don't think it's really been talked about on mainstream news. But I think what Pizzagate is for me is it represents another example of something I've talked about in previous episodes, where an interesting theory is put out by just a random individual on the internet. And that's essentially on a website, on a forum like 4chan or Godlike Productions. And it seems really plausible, so people just roll with it. And it gains an incredible amount of momentum in a very short space of time, because just the power of the internet, the power of all these integrated networks and websites. So all of a sudden, you've got this theory that's got 100,000 views on YouTube, 500,000 views on YouTube a week later, or day later. And then you've got Twitter going crazy over a hashtag, Pizzagate. And all of a sudden, the mainstream media has to get involved, because it's becoming an actual story. But that's not to say that it's fake news. It is actually a theory, and it is an interesting theory, and it's not, the original post breaks it down, and there is likely a possibility here that this is genuinely a code for something quite sinister. All this talk of pizzas all the time and wanting more cheese and all this sort of thing, it is kind of bizarre. But at the same time, there's also the possibility that actually it's just some politicians just loving a particular pizza restaurant and just wanting more and more pizza and wanting to go there and eat pizza all the time. So, you know, it's just very difficult to really understand what's going on. The problem is that there's two extreme views. There's the mainstream media that just utterly reject the story, don't even want to give it time of day. And then there's the alternative people out there now that are so convinced that this is a real cover-up that they actually will vehemently attack even the likes of Alex Jones or InfoWars for even slightly suggesting that it may not be a real story. And I think I've noticed David Icke's been walking a very fine line about Pizzagate, because I think his sense is an extreme reaction from people if you challenge the idea that this isn't a real story. Basically, people want to believe that this is a smoking gun. But unfortunately, I don't think it is a smoking gun. I think it's interesting, and I think it is kind of eerie. It's almost like creepypasta, that idea that it's like an internet story that's, it's believable, but it probably isn't true. But there you go. It's an interesting one, Pizzagate, and it's not going to die. I think this thing's going to be around for a long time yet.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.